that will begin its service as I stand number 10. The first and the last sentence is number 10. In the fullness of thy grace, thy house I will repair. Bow for thy holy place in thy fear, with thy worship there. Number 10, the first and the last sentence. The land of Egypt out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guilty that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. A third reading to you from God's holy word, the Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter, the first part, Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is in which by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shielded by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be comforted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This verse. Our health is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Great mercy and peace be given. Er is multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Eternal, almighty, and all-sufficient God, let it be a wonder for all of us, young and old, great and small, that we not lay at the bottom of hell, but that we are still in the land of living and in the day of salvation, and that we are realizing that it are only thy mercies, that we are not consumed. Give us deep impression of thy long suffering towards us. One of our elders, after so many weeks in the hospital and in his home, is with us in this day again, and I have given him that opportunity to sit with us under thy word and testimony, the means of grace, what is so necessary is a command of thee, because if we despise it, we have nothing to wait for than only to be cast away in that outer darkness where shall be beaten and gnashing of teeth. That family out of one of our other sister congregations who is with us in this day, spared on the way and the road in that awful accident that they had with their dear children, and they are all of spare and sitting with us in this morning under thy word and testimony. They have lost everything in so far outwardly, but they are still in the land of living. Oh, that all those warnings have some fruit to the eternal welfare. And the whole congregation with us too, where thy hand was so heavy over us in storm, lightning and thundering, and that our city is spared, and that our life is prolonged, because in one moment it could all well be dead. When thou goest through in thy majesty and in thy justice and in thy righteousness, but oh, thou hast shown unto us and our city to have no desire in the death of a sinner, but well in the repentance, in the conversion and in the salvation. Oh, that young and old, great and small, receive us in deep impression of it in their heart, because we are so dead and so cold and so awful that there is no words to explain it, Lord, what man is by nature, and that he can do nothing else than harden his heart and make him himself right for the day of slaughter. Oh, remember us in this Sabbath day, with those that came back from the hospital and with other ones who are laying there, and also have to go there in this day. Oh, we commend them all at thy throne, in all their needs, in all their wants, in all the circumstances that that is lurking round about us from moment to moment, and every moment can our life be cut off, and then to stand before an righteous yet whose eyes are as a flame of fire. Oh Lord, prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. And that it, when the day of death shall come, that that day shall be better than the day that we were born. Look upon the whole congregation and all the gatherings of thy people over the length and over the breadth of the earth, all thy servants who are called by thee and anointed by thee, strengthen them and sustain them. Help also us in this day to proclaim that everlasting gospel, and that the love of Christ constrains us. Give us all a place under thy word, not above it, but under thy word, and that we lay in dust and ashes before thee, nothing in ourselves, but that Christ become all and in all for our poor and needy soul. Look upon all thy people over the length and breadth of the earth. Visit them also amongst us, and that it may please thee that they receive in this Sabbath day the desire of their heart to know Christ and to find solution in a triune God for their heart, because that is so necessary. Shall it be well with us to meet our Maker, and that sinners be comforted and called out of darkness to that marvelous light. Lord, have mercy upon us, our children, our grandchildren. All they are in need, and all those that are in trouble and in afflictions, in hospitals and institutions, in jails, remember them in the battlefield, and remember those boys in the country. Recommend them all at a throne in the midst and wants, with all the widows, orphans and widows, with all the old people and young people, with sick and healthy. Remember each and every one according to the greatness of thy mercy in thy beloved Son. The country and those that rule over us, bring us all back to thy word, to thy law, and to thy testimony. Bless the labors among the heathens and the Jewish people, and also in the translating of thy holy word, that it was brought over the whole world, and that several came to the knowledge of thee and the knowledge of Christ. Forgive all our sins and all our transgressions in the precious blood of the Lamb, and remember the whole congregation in this Sabbath day, in all the needs and in all the wants, outwardly and inwardly, and fill our empty heart and soul out of the fullness of Christ, and that is Sabbath day, that it be a day of rejoicing in thee, the living God. Remember our fields. They have already so much water, and thou knowest, Lord, the fear that there is by so many farmers, and in some of our states. Oh, if it can please thee, Lord, give some shine, and that it all dried up again, that it is no hindering for the fruit and for the vegetables, but made everything well, because even the king is served from the field. We commend them all at the end, but oh Lord, if thou wilt do otherwise, we have to say nothing, then only that the Lord is right in all his ways. Oh, teach us to bow under thee, and remember us in mercy, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 400, and we start with the first stanza. Your offering will now be taken for the church and for the benevolent. Number 400, happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing and the Lord his God is safe. Number 400. Beloved congregation, we know out of the Word of God, but also for so far as we were brought up in our doctrine, what is the right doctrine, that it is necessary to know the three things. The first of all, the knowledge of our sins, and second, the knowledge of deliverance, and third of all, the knowledge of thanksgiving or gratitude. Those things are based on the Word of God. I will give you this morning only one text. I can give you 10 texts, of course, but one that is enough. And that is by the prophet Hosea, where you take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Take away our iniquity, that refers to the first point, to the knowledge of our misery and sin. And receive us graciously, that refers to the knowledge of deliverance as it is in Christ Jesus. So we will render the calves of our lips, that refers to gratitude, because that people who are delivered by the Lord, they shall acknowledge Him, and it shall be the knowledge, it shall be the language of their heart. What shall I render the Lord for all His benefit bestowed upon us? But there is something else that I will say in this morning to you, and that is this. In the first place, now that knowledge of those three things that can be in our head, as it is with thousands and thousands. But you know that is insufficient for eternity. In our church, we make a difference. And amongst our doctrine, between head knowledge and experimental knowledge. And that experimental knowledge, that is only by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and by the applying of it by the Holy Ghost. But the point that I will bring out to you this morning, and what I will emphasize, that is this, that we cannot give ourselves anything. Even, let I say it in this manner, even if we have grace in our hearts, then in regeneration we have received back love to God and love to our neighbors. But of course, that is, alas, not always in exercise. There are so many times that it is so different inside, so cold and so hard, that we have to condemn ourselves about it. But if there are moments in our life that the true love of God is in our soul, then we wish our neighbors, our friends, our household, even our enemies, we vouchsafe them everything. And then we say, oh Lord, comfort them all, if it can please you. But when it comes to the point to give something that is not in our hands, no, that is not in our hands, that is really impossible, it has to come from another side. And that is what I will preach to you in this morning out of that text that you will find in Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I have for this morning very brief four thoughts. Another time last year or 2 years ago, we talked more about the first verse of this chapter, but for this morning I will stay with the sixth verse and then consider four things with you. We have here in the first place an upright confession. In the second place, an assured declaration. In the third place, an apostolic command. And in the fourth place, a powerful faith. I shall repeat it for the children and maybe for older ones too. An upright confession. An assured declaration, an apostolic command, and a powerful faith. Now I hope you have it all. First of all, an upright confession. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. There is not so many people that will confess uprightly that they have nothing. In the world, there is many people that refuse to say the truth. And in the words, they make themselves higher than that they are. But here we have a man in the text this morning that made an honest confession. Silver and gold have I none. Peter and John, you know, they were born in the same place. They both have served the world and the devil when they were young. They both have learned the same trade. They have done the same work. And then later on they were both converted and both called as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miracle. What a miracle. Always together from the early days, And then later on also again together. And so far as we know, there came in the life never a separation between those two men. The devil could not make any separation between them. Dus that was a wonderful thing. But he said, here silver and gold have I not. They have it not before they were converted. They have of nothing after that they were converted. They have lived a very simple life. When Christ had called them, they had left everything. They followed Christ. And you know how that they came through this world those 3 years. There they received something, and there they gave him some lunch, and there they gave him some shoes, and another gave him some money. And so they came those 3 years through the world. And of course they have no concern about silver and gold too. No. Because they were for 3 years in the presence with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that had the overhand over in their soul. Just a very easy life. After that, they were serving the church as an apostle. Then it is clear they have of nothing. Because here after the days of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in their hearts, then he made that upright confession, silver and gold have I not. Why did he make that confession? Because you have not to tell everybody anything. No. But why, what was the reason that Peter told now this layman that he had no silver on gold or silver? Because that man that was laying there on the gate, beautiful, that man that was looking only for silver and for gold. Yeah, but there is no net. We need no more than silver and gold in our life. We have a soul created for eternity. And there are so many troubles and so many riddles in the world. And in our personal life, we need more than silver and gold. Of course. But this man, he was 40 years old. He was lame from the time that he was born. But the only concern that he had that was about silver and gold. Nothing else. His condition, of course, you know, that was awful. Lame. He could not walk. He was dependent from his family or from friends. And then in the second place, he had to lay down that gate to receive some money every day to supply his needs for his temporal life. That is an awful thing, to keep up our hands all the time, that we cannot supply our own needs and wants, and that we always have to look to the hands of other people. But of course, that this man that was used to it,
used to it.
Yes. Because we can become used to everything in the world. There is people that lay there sometimes 40, 45 years or more in bed, row like. And then if you look to them, then you would say, oh, if I have to live there to late an hour, all the time. I meet this week in Canada an old man from some place. And then after the service, he said, yes, we got from that and that lady. I say, he is still living. Yeah, still living. All the time still laying down there. She said, yes. And that was maybe Elvin when I was at 20 years old, 25 years old. All that time laying. But sometimes praising the name of the Lord. For the state that he receives under sickbed. Of course, if that takes place, that is everything. Because if we receive the whole world of people, and we are missing the revelation of the Lord in our hearts and in our souls, what is then to our life? Nothing. Nothing, because there is nothing here whatever can satisfy our heart, then only speak thou to my soul, I am thy salvation. And if that takes place, then there is satisfying, and there is gladness, and there is joy in our heart. Silver and gold I have none. Oh, it's Peter, he was a man, he was an open-hearted man, really. Because that man, he was looking to receive something. Yeah, what a poor man. It was better that he had said, oh, Peter, I am glad that I see you coming here. Oh, you will well do a little prayer for me. You will well send up a little some word to the Lord. I am so poor, I lay here out 40 years now. I was living when Christ was living. And he never had cured me. Or I was never have I an opportunity to ask him for something. But oh, Peter, now, when I see you now with that young, with your dear friend and brother, oh, ask of the Lord that he will recover me, that he gave me my legs back, and especially that he deliver my soul. You would expect that? No. No. That man that was only looking for silver and for gold. Only for that. Yeah, but if you are 40 years old, then you know to already that you have a soul created for eternity. Oh, people, read that and burn in that book. Then you know enough about it. What he told us about. Over the value of the soul, Oh, by nature, people, it's all the religion that we have nothing to do with our poor soul for eternity. We are only concerned about that one soul when the Lord come in with the power of His Holy Spirit in our heart. And otherwise, nothing, people, no. We can well think about it and talk about it, but no true concern about our soul and about eternity till that the Lord comes and that He visits us and that He speaks personally to our soul. And of course, when even that Paul, that Peter, fastening his eyes upon that man and upon John, then Peter, he said, look on us, and even then, that man that was still looking for silver and for gold, when the Lord was working so powerful in the heart of that Peter, because that he said, look on us, then Peter, in that moment, the Lord had revealed unto him that men, that poorly men, that he was a chosen vessel from all eternity. And that now there the time was that the Lord would glorify his grace in his heart. And of course, in the exercising of faith, there is no doubt, people, no doubt at all, that is really in the believer. But it is not in faith itself, no. Because that is a perfect work of the Lord in the heart of his children. Silver and gold I have none. Paul, he cut it all up. That he would say to that man, oh, poor man, you expect something from us, but I have nothing. I have nothing in regard to material things. Now, my second thought from this morning that is, an assured declaration. The first point that was, of course, you know, an upright confession. And now an assured declaration. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. This Peter, he had something. Such as I have, as I have. And now what that man had, that was in the first place congregation, the fruit of that sovereign good pleasure of the Father. In the second place, it was the result of the mediatorial work of Christ. And in the third place, it was given in his heart by the Holy Spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, the things that are freely given to us of God. And in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 21, for all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. And then in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Such I have, give I thee. That man he refers here in the first place to what the Lord had given him as a child. But in the second place, especially what the Lord had given him as an apostle. We have several texts in the New Testament to prove that the Lord had given to his disciples an apostle. Of course, those apostles, they have an extraordinary calling. There is no apostle at the present time in the church, no. There were only 12. And when the last of the apostles died, then it was done with the apostles.
Later on, they were church fathers, they were bishops, they have ministers, but that is not the same as an apostle, because the apostles, they have an extraordinary calling, but also an extraordinary office and anointing and work. They were called in especially to lay the foundation for the church of the New Testament. That was their special calling. And the Lord had given them also special gifts. You read later on in Acts 5 that when the people even saw the shadow of Peter, that they were healed. That was, of course, temporary, that the Lord gave that people, those apostles, some gifts. So it was also in Acts 3. But I have, he had received that Peter and that John a special power from the Lord. That was also with the 12th apostle Paul also, because he said once, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give that people over to the devil. You would say, but that was a very strong. Yes, but that was a special power and authority that the Lord had given to the apostles in the church. That was also necessary in those days. Why was that so necessary? Because when the New Testament, the church, came to the Revelation, and when the Lord would place that church in the world, the devil with all his power that came against it. Because on one side there the usurer and the cross of Christ, that was a stumbleblock for that Jewish people. And at the other side, the Greeks and the heathens and the religion, the Christian religion, it was all foolishness to them. And in both of that people, the devil was working so strong. You read sometime later on by the apostles, that some people that cried behind them when they walk on the street. And that was all with the purpose to break the power of the gospel and to hinder the progress in the life of the church. So now the apostle, he said, and but that I have, give I thee. In the realm of nature, people, there most of the time say, I wonder if it is different. There are exceptions. But in the realm of nature, what we have in the people. I shall not say so much about it this moment, that is not necessary. But of course, that is that place so deep in the heart of everybody. To take care that we can keep what we have. Because here there is, oh yeah. I am so used to the Holland, this time and again, and I think in Holland too. But I shall try to say it as I dare to say it to you. Of course, now in our hearts and in our life, we are time and again are thinking about the future. If it was about the future heaven, then it is not so bad, that it is well, very fruitful for the soul. But otherwise, most of the time, then it is the same as that the child of God is saying, he said, today I have it so easy. Oh, he said, I would have hoped. But he said, I see it tomorrow, then I will become so old as a Jerusalem. And then they have all these stalkers here inside. All these. And then that talker that said, yeah, but if now this shall happen in your life. And if you have to go to the hospital, and to this, and for this, and for that. And that cost all too much money. Of course. But then, and then sometimes you cannot work. And what then? It is a blessing if we can live it today. That is a blessing, but that, oh, yeah, I cannot tell you, I say that, but that is the grace of the Lord, people, to do that. Of course, you cannot realize it. From ourselves and 11, that is the seven, that will have become 100 years old. But now Peter, he said, what I have, that give I thee. He was willing to give to the poor man what the Lord had given him. All that is in the way of conversion, and conviction that is also. You read about that woman in John 4, that Samaritan woman, when the Lord had convinced her by his Spirit of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, then he ran to the people in Samaria, and she invited them to all to come with her. And as to he said, come and behold the man who has told me all that I have done. Is he not the Christ? Yes. As he thought, if now the people go with me, then they are all maybe so frivolous as I am. And that is now authorized when the Lord gave an opening, and the Lord set his soul at liberty in the freedom of the gospel. Oh, tell me, they will give it to other people too. What I have, I will give you. I will give you. And of course, what was now the secret in that history? The secret in that history was this. Unto Peter it was revealed that that man was a chosen one of the Lord. It was revealed to that Peter that the Father had loved that man from all eternity. It was revealed to that man that Christ had cried out on the cross of Calvary also for him at his sin. Yeah. What a wonderful revelation. And now you can realize, if the Lord regenerates us, then we are partakers of the divine nature. And that to a certain extent, people, then we have the same desire in our heart of the Lord to give the people everything. Oh, if it was possible to bring the grace in the heart, we would do it. And he would say, oh man, I will give you everything. But now that Peter, he said, what I have, that gift I do. But then in the third place, his apostolic command, because in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And of course, there Peter, he go in the back. He said, not in my name, no, but in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of that Savior, in the name of that Anointed, in the name of that Prophet, of that Priest, and of that King, in the name of Jesus Christ, all the people think that he is dead, but he is not dead, no. He is exalted in the highest heaven. He is sitting at the right hand of his Father. And unto him is given all power in heaven and upon earth in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why that he added to that Nazareth? Or in the first place, so Christ was known amongst the people. they mentioned him despitefully as Jesus of Nazareth. You know that Daniel, he had said, "Can out of Nazareth come any good?" Most of the people, they mentioned him as Jesus of Nazareth. They did it to despise him and disdain him. We have an example in the Bible that a blind man, Bartimaeus, he was sitting on the road. And then, of course, when he heard that noise, then he asked what it was. And then the people said, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." They were, that was so used, that was so common and common thing. They were so used to that. But then that poor man, but rich in God, when he was also a chosen one, then he cried, "Son of David, have mercy unto me." He said not Jesus of Nazareth, no. But he said, "Jesus, Son of David." And then you can see here the Lord comforts these people. Then immediately fear and reverence and love from before the Lord the young. Immediately the world shall never have. No. But that is something that the Lord gets in the heart of his dear children. Son of David. Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, but there is something else involved too. Because you read in Judges 13 about the birth of Samson, that he shall be a Nazarene. And Christ had lived in Nazareth till he was 30 years old, that he will become a Nazarene. And that will say, one that is dedicated to the Lord. One that is chosen by the Lord. And then not only that, but it refers, of course, to Isaiah 53. And there you read about Christ, that he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And he has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But then, the original meaning of the word, that is in Isaiah 11, and that shall come forth a rock out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. A branch shall grow out of his root. And that refers to him as the eternal Son of God. That original power that he had received, that he had from all eternity, with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. But that refers also to him as the mediator and savior. And in that respect, that all power that is given unto him, oh, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. His name is holy. His name is reverent. His name is full of majesty. His name that refers to the divine power to deliver us out of the power of the devil and to restore us into the kingdom of God, as we now sing that. Out of number 199, his name shall evermore abide. In him shall all the world be blessed. By all the nations far and wide, his praise shall ever be confessed. Number 199, only the third stanza.
And now the councils of that apostolic command, as we had said in my last point, that powerful faith that there was revealed in public, there on the gate beautiful. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. And now Peter, he said that to a man. Calvin, he said in his explanation, if you haven't already read it over, then you can find it. But that great divine had told us about that man. And then he said he lay there for 40 years with dead bones on that gate, with dead bones. There was no life in it. There is in me, there is in you, no life. There is nothing in us. And the only thing that we can expect, you and I, that is to sink away in that outer darkness where it's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and to be cast away in that pit of destruction. But now rise up and walk. And now the power of that faith, because I say to you in this moment that in the work of the Lord, also in that true faith, there is no doubt at all. There was no doubt in the heart of that Peter that what he spoke there, that it would not come to pass. He was not wavering. For that moment, the devil could not enter into the heart of that people. No. Because otherwise, when we sometimes talk, then they say, most of the time inside, be careful, be careful. Be careful, be careful. But that Peter, he had nobody in his sight. Nobody. He was looking there to the Almighty God, to a merciful God, and to a God who is great of mercy in his beloved Son, and who had declared by the prophet Jeremiah, should there be anything too wonderful for me, rise up and walk. And then a man who was carried there for 40 years, who never was standing on his legs, on his feet. No. Never and ever. But that same faith that there was in the heart of Peter, that same the Lord gave also in the heart of that man. In verse 16, then it readeth, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. They were used no medicine there. No. Nothing at all. No care of a doctor. But only rise up and walk. And immediately that Peter that took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You will say, I would like $1,000 if you could see that Peter walking to that man and taking him by his right hand. But shall that be in that? Immediately there in the temple, there in that gate, you can realize that. Because
There is a text that says, if you have faith, have it for yourself. But he has it not for the government. He replies double. And double portion was given to that man. Double portion. And of course, as I told you, there was no place for the devil there. And there was no place for any doubt and for any talk, no. But I shot him off and immediately took him by his right hand. And that man, he was standing on his feet and he was walking there. The power of faith. Of the Apostle Paul said that it is a faith that overcomes the world. And now congregation, that same God that is living today and forever. And now we are all laying down there. There is not the one that came off by nature. Not the one. That man that lay outside of the temple. But now the church is up, the church is full with lame people. And the people that cannot walk and that lay there. But by nature the same as the dead man, no concerning about it. And no need and no prayer. Be merciful to me, sins. Oh, young and old. Young and old. Great and small. But that man could not walk. But that man lay down there, that was the fruit of the fall of Adam, that we are dead in trespasses and sin, that is also the fruit of our deep fall. Nothing else than death, people. But now death has become a reality for us in our life. And now that miracle that the Lord has provided us, and perform that same miracle that has been taking place in our life. Oh, young and old, you are still in the land of living. The Lord has spared us yesterday wonderful without sin. Because in the matter lightning and thundering, oh, he could have taken away everything from us. That even the church was gone. Even the church. There and three and there and three laying down. Why not our church? The mercies of the Lord over us. And he had showed yesterday that he had no desire in our death. But well in our life and in our repentance. Oh, that it breaks our heart is in pieces. And that it may please the Lord to sanctify the two also. And I hope that the few words we shall close for this moment. But I hope to see this afternoon and evening again, so far as it's possible. Oh, that the Lord give a little desire, because every time people can be the last time. And oh, that we never neglect the means of grace. That the Lord not will give on how dirty creatures and sinners. But oh, that we come to this place. Lord, remember me. Lord, look us upon. Lord, break my heart in pieces. Lord, speak us to my soul. Oh, Lord, bring us to a solution. We are still in the day of grace. There is no sinner too old. It never 40 years old then. And he had no more thought than only for money. So far was that man gone. But still, there is nothing that hinders the Lord to perform his wonders. The Lord gave us a little hope and a little courage and by renewal, if he has walked already. But now lay down again. Now lay down again. And as he says, shall I ever walk? Shall I ever walk? Oh, the Lord, may in his condescending mercy, he confirmed to all his dear people this, that we shall close for this morning the day that waits upon the Lord shall renew strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Sanctify it to our hearts, and give thy people a little courage out of it for the further life, but also that sinners were brought to the knowledge of the sin, and to the knowledge of Christ, and to acknowledge the triune God. Be with us further in this Sabbath day. Lord, may it well with the weather, that we can come back. It's all in thy hands. And he can expect nothing else than the judgments of the Lord. But remember us in mercy and in compassion. Forgive our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 304. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. 304.
Thank you.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.